to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and in this episode, we're going to be talking with some of the folks with Love Kennedy. And we welcome back to the Cultural Hall, Jason Wade.
Woo-hoo.
I know that's not your name, but let's not get into it.
It is my name.
Sure it is.
It's my middle name.
It's my stage name. It's my IMDb name.
Jason Wade Milton.
No, I get it.
Okay.
But your name is not Jason Wade,
which
you now insist upon everyone calling you.
Every girlfriend always calls me Jason Wade.
I know.
My sisters call me Jason Wade.
I know. Your girlfriends and your sisters. We'll get into that later, too.
Whatever.
And then also Jason Hansen, the father of Kennedy, the subject of the film Love Kennedy. Thank you guys for being here. I have to ask a few things, and then Jason Hansen, I'm going to ask you to kind of tell the story about Kennedy for those who may not have the opportunity to see the movie. We'll also talk about how people can see it. But I want to ask you, first of all, your wife's name is Heather. Jason played you, so it's Jason playing Jason. And isn't the actress who played Heather named Heather?
Heather Beers.
Heather
we
Beers.
Love her.
Yep.
From, most famously from...
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie. Yes. So let me tell you the story about how I watched this movie. I was at the gym. I knew I was going to be able to interview you guys. I was able to get a link so that I could see it in the time that I had to do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm stoked. I'm like, man, I'm going to watch this thing. I want to make sure that I know the movie, know the story, get insightful questions. And here's the thing about this movie, which, as we talk about the subject matter, I mean, you're going to know it's some pretty spiritual stuff, some pretty miraculous things as well,
mm-hmm.
and tear jerking. So here I am at the gym. You know, I got my like singlet, right? I work out in a tank top and my short shorts. It's bike day because I'm like, yeah, you know, and I'm full out and I got my big water bottle and got my headphones, the sport ones that clip over my ears. And I'm like, yeah. And I've just recently figured out how, because I'm a late adopter, how to watch things on my phone, right? Like, I knew you could, but I'm like, I hadn't kind of integrated it into my life yet. So I sit down and I'm watching this movie. And, I mean, there, as we get into the story, there's just parts that it's just like, oh, come on! Be tough! Be tough right now! People are looking at you right now at the gym. Come on, be tough. And I couldn't help it. Couldn't help but cry. I think the film's about an hour and 40 minutes into it, right?
Yes.
I get to about an hour and 10 minutes, and my phone battery dies.
No.
So I don't know. I mean, I guess I can kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, there's some pieces that maybe I have no idea about.
The Titanic
scene. Yeah,
happened today.
Yeah.
So that's
where you got to.
That's fresh.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to spoil anything,
yeah.
But I got to a pivotal moment, which I guess I kind of saw coming, and then my phone dies, and I'm like... But there's, you know what I'm saying? There's got to be a missing piece to this thing because there was still half an hour left of movie. And I'm just like, what? What is the next part?
Yeah, you missed the best part.
Yeah?
Yeah, pretty much the best part.
There is a third act.
Yeah, there's a third act.
Yeah, because it keeps alluding to, and as we get to the story, the miracle that happens a month later, and I have no idea. So
hey, if it makes you feel any better, I haven't seen the film.
Okay, well then,
so,
that makes me feel a little better.
I don't know
better.
How it ends.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I have, you turds.
So Jason, let's get you in here and talk a little bit about you, about Kennedy, about how this whole thing came about, some of your background.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having us on the show.
Yeah, you bet.
And I'm happy to hear that you're a singlet guy. I like working out, too.
Yeah.
You know, emotions, tears.
That's right.
No, it's good to see. It's good to actually see that someone's watching the movie in that context, because this movie is for everyone.
Yeah.
And if you watch it that way, there's been a lot of people say, oh, it's going to be too sad. It's this. One thing that we've done, and TC's done it well, and Jason Wade.
TC is the director, and Jason Wade
is taking a tragedy and you know, really turned into something great. So our story is really a story of our daughter, Kennedy Hansen,
uh-huh.
who was perfect till about age 11, and she started going blind, and then she had seizures and several different health issues, and we didn't know what was wrong.
Right.
And ultimately, we find out she has terminal juvenile Batten disease.
Batten, is it spelled
B-A-T-T-E-N?
Okay.
And it's a disease, it's a real ugly disease. It's actually a genetic disease that is from a perfect gene for my wife and myself, one in 500 million chance that me.
Oh.
and then eventually it kills the brain is what it does, and then shuts down all the organs in the body. The brain basically tries to tell everything to work, but it can't, and so that's what happens. So our story is pretty miraculous because Kennedy was – no one's perfect, but she was close.
Uh-huh.
She was always so easy. Was a miracle from day one. And said little things like, it's okay, Mom and Dad, you know, Heavenly Father will heal my eyes when I go to heaven. She said that early on. And other things, and it alluded to so many things. And then I had a really powerful experience where I was told that, you know, 4 years before we had the diagnosis that Heavenly Father would need her home. And that really happened. And then and that was a struggle, you know, for me. But it was also a blessing. And then we got the diagnosis. And then her diagnosis was June 5th, 2013. And she passed away today, 3 years ago today.
Oh, my gosh.
May 30th, 2014. Today's her anniversary. And we are... and then we were able to celebrate her funeral on June 5th, 2014. So we held it a year to the date. So the movie is about hope and never giving up and never complaining. And really, it is spiritual, but it's about... having a belief that if you're going to lose somebody or something, doing everything you can to make it the best and preparing them to go home. And that's what we did with Kennedy. So there's a nutshell for you.
You know, it's interesting because I didn't know how far removed you were from this, right? To know that it's that recent. I guess I kind of thought that, you know, it would be a little bit further. But, man, thank you for spending the anniversary, for taking a little bit of time to talk with us about it.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, coming into it, I sort of read, like, the byline of the film, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, right? But it isn't – I mean, I guess it's a tragedy in the idea that, you know, here is, like you said, you know, this perfect girl – And then there's, you know, kind of this, I guess, downfall of health or whatever. But to me, it was not tragic at all. Man, I watched, and I'd be interested, you're saying that you've seen the whole film to know how true to life it is. But to me, it's like, it really is like one of those experiences where you think back on those people, and the film does a great job of doing this. So again, I'd like to know the true to life. But... that person who can come into your life for just a moment and change your life just because you knew that person, right? So less tragic for me. I mean, sad, certainly. I'm not downplaying the situation because I'm sure you're like, let me tell you, it was tragic, but I guess kind of glorious in this kind of pushing.
But we
hope
that the film's not just tragic. It's a celebration.
It really
is a celebration of Kennedy's life and of the family and the way that they dealt with that situation because – you know, most people could be destroyed by that. You have a daughter that you can't even diagnose. You don't know what's wrong with her.
Right.
She's slowly in declination, and you're in this whirlwind of confusion. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could go in life, and some could be very destructive. And so it's a celebration because it shows you their path, their journey, and how they dealt with it in such a miraculous way. And she really was a miracle. I mean, she, in that small, brief moment, did more than we could even dream of in a lifetime. So, we hope that people walk away not just feeling – it is emotional, but it is a celebration.
Yeah. How true to life is the film?
Very. TC did – I mean, so true to life that's filmed in our home.
Really?
They use my actual truck. They use my wife's vehicle. It's in her high school. The actual cheerleaders, who she was a cheerleader, and eight or nine, I can't remember, of the actual 27 cheerleaders were able to be cheerleaders in the film.
Oh, my gosh.
Some of the scenes you see, like the dance scene, the country corner, the names, all the names, the cheerleading coach, her boyfriend, Jaden, our family, you know, true to life. TC did a great job. We were approached by quite a few people after this because she had about 4.5 million followers on social media.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a huge deal. And we were like, this is our daughter. You know, this isn't a business plan to us.
Right. Oh, we'd like to talk to you about it. It's like, this was a person and it's June 6th. Right. So how about we back off for just, I mean, really, though.
No, that really happened. That really happened. That's true. The day after her funeral, we did have some people reach out, you know, publishers, things like that for a book. But one thing Kennedy said was that I was actually, thinking about today was, you know, she asked me to share her story.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very, very adamant about that. And I didn't understand it at the time. But she'd say, Dad, my story will be shared with the world. And I'd be like, Kendi, that's so cocky. You're cocky, little sire. I'm like, dude, what are you? She's like, you don't understand, Dad. My story will be shared with the world. And all these miracles happened that then we wrote a book. And I started the book about...
We is who?
My wife and I.
Okay.
And I started the book about maybe a month after she passed away.
And oh, how hard.
It was hard. But the result of that is this movie. And I'd say the movie's 95% to the T accurate, including the words. The words that TC used come from our Facebook posts on Kennedy's Hugs, from my journals, and from the book I wrote, and from Heather's journals as well, and from other people... like this great miracle you'll see in the film that he went and interviewed with. So there's little, I mean, there's TC humor in it. You know, sure. You see those things, but like even our son, Bo, he's a funny character in the movie. That's really how he is. And the words he uses, those are really things that happen. And so I take my hat off to TC. I will honestly say that 95% of what you see is
just spot on.
Yeah.
But it's spot on, but it's only part of the story.
Yeah, you get an hour of 40 minutes of this, you know,
of this family's years of struggle. So,
and that's what we got to really have a lot of good time with is Jason, Wade, and I. Unfortunately, have become really good friends.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Unfortunate for who?
I said that, and I was his friend in college.
I know where the truth lies in that.
No, the fortunate part of this film was truly the cast and crew being in our home. That's still so remarkable to me
that you're just like, come on in. And,
And they, TC's like, I don't want to stay in a hotel or like sleep here. So he actually stayed in our home, which was a remarkable experience. But what was amazing about it was this. I'm not a movie guy. I'm her dad.
Right.
And when I hear Cass tell me, like Jason Wade, who I consider amazing, and Heather Beers and others say, this doesn't happen on sets. We don't see people emotional like this. We don't feel of other people. And we never get to play the people we're playing, being right there with them.
Yeah.
There was a bond that happened there. And we were cautious. We set some boundaries because we didn't want to interrupt. Heather and I, my wife, we wanted to make sure that the film was done correctly and that we weren't in the way.
Right.
And so we really tried to respect that and let the actors be the actors and the experts and the producers and, you know, the directors be the directors. And I think it went very well.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into that, having him there with you. But I want to ask a question here. Then we'll get kind of in the process and all that stuff in the second block. You mentioned that about 4 years before she passed that you had this experience essentially where you were told that, you know, that she would – that God would need her back. Talk about that and then talk about your reaction to that, because I think I'd be like, yeah, no. How about a different plan?
I'm happy you asked about that. Kendi was going blind.
And this was starting in the process. Okay.
And everything else. And it's the first thing in my life I couldn't fix.
Right.
Dad, I can fix a bike. I can fix a broken arm. I can fix everything. And I look back now and I was devastated.
Right.
And so I was praying nonstop. We were going to doctors and doing all these things. And it was a normal day like any day. And in the book, the chapter is called The Changing Day. Hmm. And in the movie, at the very end, it does show this. You'll see it at the end. And you missed it. So sorry.
Oh.
But what ends up happening is that 4 years before she passed away, it's a normal day. My wife goes to the gym. We get up and we're spiritual people. We have prayer, scripture study. We have two other kids. And I get down to say a prayer, normal day, and I always say a prayer. And immediately I had an amazing personal, very, very personal spiritual experience where I say in my book, and I'll say it here, I don't know if I heard it in my mind or out loud, but I was told, I need her home, my son. And it was so paramount and so strong that I had to pause and ask again, and I heard it a second time and a third time. And the third time, I don't usually question things on a third go. And so the movie, Jason did an amazing job portraying that scene. I got up, went to the shower, and we actually filmed all this, but because of the time limits, TC condensed it.
Sure.
So hopefully in a couple of the extra scenes, he'll show some of this, but I just didn't know what else to do other than go take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
I was devastated. I didn't go into work, and I had to go think, and I got in that shower. I had a replay of her life and our family's life, and I said, okay, you can have her. but I'm going to need all the help I can get. And then I drove to her school, and at that point we had put her in resource because she was going blind, and everybody's, you know, nobody knew what to do because she was declining so quickly, and she was in seventh grade. And I drove there, and I walked in the lunchroom. No one was there but her and the police officer, which is, and this is documented because he's now said yes. And I looked at her, and he came over and said, "What are you doing here?" And I was crying. I said, "That's my daughter over there. I'm sorry. Just give me a minute." And he's like, "Okay," because, you know, he thought I was a weirdo. But I just walked up to her, and I sat down, and I just looked at her, and she couldn't see me. And it was confirmed. And then we ate a junior high school lunch, and which was great for her and terrible for me. But we laughed and we cried, and it was confirmed. And then from that day on, I knew. And I never doubted. And some people thought I was crazy who heard the story, and that's okay. But the story went on. And had I not had that experience, I don't know that I could have done it. Because if it would have been – we have friends of lost children. If it would have been an immediate like that, for the way I'm built, I don't know. But it was a blessing, and it was difficult. But had I not had that, I don't think I would have, we would have been sitting here today, because it allowed me to be more open to what Kennedy's spirit was feeling. And that's resulted in her story being shared. That's truly the result.
But even with the confirmation, you still didn't know what it was.
No. I didn't know what her disease was. I don't know. And I, so, of course, I, what I did is I called the family meeting. Yeah, still in the dark. And call, I called the family meeting. Well, I told my wife first. That only took me 2 days. My wife lost her mom to cancer when she was 15, and that's in the film. And so I sat her down, and she and my wife wouldn't. My wife said, "No, I can't."
Nope, that's not all right. Nope, that won't. Nope. And I think that would be sort of my reaction too. It's like, try again. So I'm not sure what you've been doing that would give you that impression, but you need to. Yeah.
And that was the hard part, because Heather, my wife Heather and I, we never ever have argued about Kennedy. Mm-hmm. So every night, we literally knelt down for 4 years because we prayed every night, and I'd look at her and I would say the same thing every night: "You have to get ready." And she would say, "I can't." And that really happened. And Jason's been around us, and that's not a joke, a far-fetched. We take that very serious. We told our family, and some of our family's like, you know, we have my back saying, "Jason's going cuckoo." But there's an experience in the book where I share it with my own dad. And my dad says, "Son, I'm worried you're overreacting." And all I said was, "Dad, when I was 13 years old, if Heavenly Father told you I was going home, what would you do?"
Right.
And that's where he said, "I'm in." So it's a beautiful story of them. When we're given the diagnosis, there's, of course, sadness, relief, confirmation.
Sure.
But now we're together. And now we know. And now we're going to make it the very best we have. And we did. And we had just, you know, 12 months of miracles. It's really what happened. So
I want to take a break for a second, and then we'll come back. And I want to talk a little bit about kind of the process to it, right? How you came to be involved in this whole thing. You're TC's baby. I know that's the case. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then we'll talk about some more of the film coming up here in the second block.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. 1 in 5 children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Time for the second block of the Cultural Hall, visiting with Jason Wade and Jason Hansen, the actor and then also sort of the subject, I guess, of the film Love, Kennedy. All right, so Jason Wade...
Mm-hmm.
Pretentious. His last name is Nilsson.
He hates me.
And he's got, I don't know, you know, you're a good-looking gentleman, fine, but your sisters, come on.
Oh, gorgeous.
Right? All of them. All of them.
Beautiful.
I would feel bad if there was one ugly sister, right, in that sisterhood
of
yours.
That's why I made sure that you couldn't date any of them.
like I would have stood a chance.
The wall
with any of them.
Real quick with you.
How many did I try? At least two.
No, two. Maybe a third.
How did you come to be in this project? I joke around, but TC does absolutely love you, right? It's like, hey, we're looking for a dad, Jason.
Well, it didn't. It wasn't that simple.
But pretty close.
Maybe you'd have to ask TC his version of the story. But it really did seem like he was looking elsewhere because we were going to take a break. We'd just done Cokeville Miracle,
and, right?
Obviously, we'd done 17 miracles, and then we took a break. He had cast someone else for Ephraim's Rescue, so I thought this was my break. And I heard about the project; I knew it was going forward.
Uh-huh.
I knew they were in casting, and I've heard a couple of different versions. I think Jason's version is my favorite, so I want him to tell his version of where I got the part.
You're the actor.
No, I know, but can you tell me how I got my part? Because Richie's got a misunderstanding of the situation. I think you have a clarity that you can give him.
Well, TC was great about – okay, so first of all, TC, you got to understand, he kind of – how we met was a fluke, but we won't get to that. But he took and he wrote the script.
Wait, I want to know the fluke.
Okay,
don't
leave any doubt.
Hey, how we met was this really cool story that I'm not going to tell you. So anyway.
So I served an LDS mission in San Jose, California.
Oh, how fluky.
And it was – yeah, well, some days. But anyway, I was assigned to serve with his parents.
Okay.
And I was an assistant to the president, and they were in the office, and my mission president's like, hey, watch over these old people. Okay, take care of them. And his mom and dad were in there, and I became very close to him. Well, TC came and he was speaking about Cokeville and all these films in our three-state regional conference thing.
Uh-huh.
And he said, man, I need some dirt on my parents. I need good stories. I like good stories. I like this. And I told my daughter, my other daughter, who her name's Anna, she's 20, I said, you know, I know his mom and dad really well. I got a great story about his dad.
Huh.
So after the entire – and what the story is his dad threw a computer – out the window of the mission home. And that's true, because he got so mad and he's like, no one's listening to me, and he picked up and chucked it out the window. And so I went and found TC after, and I said, hey, my name's Jason Hansen, here's my card, just so you know, I got a great story and our stories about your mom and your dad. I knew them both. He's like, really? I said, yeah. So I didn't think anything of it, went home. He emails me, let's go to lunch. So we go to lunch, we're sitting there talking about his mom and dad and everything, and then he looks down at my phone and he says, who's that? And it was a picture of Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it all started.
Mm.
And then he says, have you documented any of this? Have you? I said, yeah, a little bit. You know, we had a Facebook page that she had millions of followers, and we've written a book. It's not quite done. He's like, you've written a book? How many journals do you have? And he starts unloading. You know, I'm a movie maker.
Right, so, his creative mind has just...
So it was, you know, 2 hours later, we walk out, and I didn't think anything really of it. And then he contacted me about a month later, and he hounded me for 6 months. And I would not give him the book. It was just too sacred to me.
Sure.
But finally, I gave it to him, and then he
read it. It's one of the most precious things of your life, right? Yeah. And you're like, no.
But he was trusted, and we gave that, and then he and Ron Tanner, who's executive producer and also, you know, is helps with the finances of the films, they came up to our home, and they said, okay, we want to do this. And we didn't immediately say yes. I want everybody to know that, because to us, this is our daughter.
Right.
We're just exposing ourselves to the world. And we already were exposed to the world because she was a little rock star, but then it came time a decision needs to be made. And you know, there's some critics, some people like, oh, they did it for money, for wealth, for fame, whatever. And the answer was, when we sat down, like, we don't even want any money for this.
Right. You
know, this is where we're doing it. So they offered us to do the film. They told us it'd be a 5-year project, and that, you know, well, maybe if we get the financing or whatever, it'll all happen.
Yeah, here's a big maybe.
And we're like, great, fantastic, we thought we had time. And then TC disappears for a month, and a month later calls and says, can we come to your house? Shows up, has this old red binder,
mm-hmm.
and it says something on it, and it's crossed out, and it just says Kennedy. And he slams on the desk, and he says, I'm done.
Mm.
I'm done with the script. We said, what do you mean? He says, we're casting in 2 weeks. We said, where did the 3-year upfront contract and the 5-year? He says, we call one of our investors in Colorado. And it turns out that his two nephews died from this disease.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's a huge – that's like a
– Yeah, what you said, one in 500 million. So.
And so that's how it happened. And then we get into casting.
Huh.
Here's this guy, Jason Wade. So that's a long fluke. But that's how it all happened. So then TC is wonderful. He says, I want you guys involved in casting. We're like, we don't know anything. He says, I don't care. This is her story. I want you to be okay with everybody.
Right.
So I'm sitting there like, who can play me? I'm a tough guy to play. I'm really, really
kind of goofy looking.
Goofy looking, powerful. You know,
I know, just,
yeah. Really, really strong, you know, personality. And as we talked about it, we saw people were coming in and casting, and they came up to our house and
I wasn't there.
They did casting at the house?
No. They came up, they were casting, and they came up to our house for a meeting.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, we're having a struggle. And I said, hey, that one guy is who I want. And I told them that before, and they're like, okay, and I didn't even know Jason's name. I said, the guy that's in Cokeville Miracle and 17 Miracles, I feel so strong about that guy. And they're looking at each other, him and Ron, and they were communicating something.
Because we were taking a break.
Right.
We had told him, we are taking a break. I cannot go back on my word right now.
So they kind of said, we'll be back in touch. They came back, hey, okay, we've reached out to him, but he has some conflicts with work and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, you know what? Do you need me to pay him? Because at that point, Kennedy had chosen Heather Beers, who's perfect for my wife. Uh-huh. You'll see, if you ever meet my wife, they look just like each other.
Really?
Tatum, who plays Kennedy, was spot on to my daughter.
Really?
And then Quincy is Anna, and Bo is Bo. And so I had the strongest feeling, Jason Wade needs to do this. And I said, do you need me to pay for it? How much are you paying him? And they're looking at each other like, who is this guy? Yeah. I'll pay for him. And then what ended up happening is they said, no, we'll be in touch. Well, then I get this message that Jason Wade wants to drive down from Colorado and meet you.
Okay.
It wasn't necessarily schedule conflicts. I could adjust that, no problem. I was having a hard time with the story. I was having a hard time with
believing
Jason's journey.
So you read this thing and you're like,
well, he sent me the script. He sent me the script. I jumped on Kennedy's Hugs. I went through and if I could just go back in time and shake my own head, social media is really deceiving. Like, it shows the best of the best, right?
Right.
So I got this really whitewashed, this really perfect version of this story. And I'm like, I'm not telling that story. That's like a Sunday school lesson. No. Like, no one finds out that they're going to lose their daughter and then just says, oh, I'm happy about it. We'll see her in the eternity. It's like,
right.
No.
Right.
No, there's got to be a human quality.
And there is something missing from
there's
that story right
totally
now.
Missing. Yeah. So I wasn't going to – obviously, I want to work with TC. I'm not going to turn it down.
But right.
There was definitely some work.
Yeah, you were.
Well, maybe. I'm not going to say yes or no, but
I got – what should I tell him? Scheduling
conflicts. I've used that in the past too many times. But, so I reached out to TC. I said, look, I've got some pretty major issues with this story. I've got to talk to Jason and Heather immediately. So, I made the six-hour drive in and came in, and they were gracious enough to invite me to their home, and I pulled up, and even when I pulled up to their house, I'm just sitting there kind of steaming going, I don't know if this is going to go over well. But they opened up the door, and they just embraced me with these hugs. And then we call it the third tile confirmation. I took three steps into that home, and the most overwhelming spirit came over me. It hit me. It was such honesty. It was such love. I mean, Kennedy is so alive and well in that home. Mm. She is everywhere. And this family, just the power behind them. I remember it was my favorite thing. We're sitting down there. We went through with the night. I asked my questions. They told me their stories. But some of my favorite moments were Jason looks at me. He's like, look, I'm just a regular guy. I swear a little too much. I hunt a little too much. I'm just a regular guy. But these things really happened. And that hit me. And I was like, you know what? I'm just a regular guy.
Yeah.
I swear a little too much. I don't hunt ever, but I mountain bike too much. Yeah. So I'm like, I can play this guy. I could do this. But it was his honesty. And once I could peer through that social media facade, I was like, there's more to this story. And then I went back and I read the script again.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that TC wasn't telling it. He was showing it.
Mm.
And I had to do my work to make sure that I was in those scenes and prepared, because this is going to be a ride that I'm never going to forget. And boy, 5 weeks, I'm telling you. It was the most challenging. It was the most emotionally exhausting project.
Talk about it. What do you mean?
When you are losing your daughter every single day for 5-6 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's not just me being an actor coming on a project. It's me going into the home of the father and the mother that lost that child. It's me walking into Kennedy's room and seeing all of her posters and her bed, and that's the bed that she slept on, and that's the wheelchair that she was in, and that this is the home that she was in. Here's where she ate breakfast. Here's where the cheerleaders came and said goodbye to her. Like, it becomes so overwhelming. And not to mention, Jason and I would always do our morning chats. We, after the set was broken and everybody's going home, I would most of the time be on their couch, and I'd still be talking to Heather and Jason and just getting more out of them, and just bonding and experiencing that. By the time you go home, you're staring at the wall and you just start thinking about things. I'm reading his book at the same time, and I can't even hold back my tears. In fact, some of my most emotional moments weren't even on set. They were driving to set or driving away from set, where you just break down and you're like, how? How do you survive this? How do you have something like this happen and not be filled with so much hate, so much anger? Because that's what I would do. You take my daughter away. I'm sorry. You take Alexa away from me. I got a 13-year-old. Or you take any of my boys away from me. No. I would not react this way. Hopefully, after this experience, perhaps I might pause, take a breath, maybe pray a little, try to find that humility. But honestly, I don't have the faith that I would have gone through it the way that they did. So for me to show up in this was a life learning moment for me. It was a defining moment for me.
Was it ever at all intimidating having Jason on set where, like, you get done with the cut and he's like, yeah, dude, I totally wouldn't do it that way?
You would think so. You would think so. Honestly, the first couple of days, yeah, sure, you're kind of looking over your shoulder going, are they smiling? Are you getting the thumbs up?
Does he smile like this? No, it's a little bit more like this.
But they were so good about just standing back and saying, hey, look, you are the actor. He was so good about giving me the thumbs up or crushing me with a bear hug and letting me know you're on the right course. Or if I did something that was really exceptional, he'd be like, can I borrow you for a minute? And we would escape all the time, huh? They could never find me. Oh, they could never find us. We'd be off in some corner somewhere in a room, and he would just be like, okay, you nailed this, and let me tell you why. Right. And this next scene coming up, let me give you just some backstory on that. And we would sit there and have hours and hours of conversation, and he would divulge to me some of the most sacred, some of the most amazing experiences that you won't ever see in the film, but it allowed me in those moments that we are portraying to show up and really be there 100%. And whether you can read it or not, it's in my mind. This is what really happened in this moment. And so I know the moments in his life that were crucial, that were absolutely critical, that I needed to nail. But for the most part, honestly, they just sat back, relaxed. We had a great time on set. It wasn't just a sob fest. In fact, I think we got yelled at more often than anything because you were like the loudest person. He's got such a loud voice and a loud personality. And TC's upstairs just, shh. Tell those people to quiet down. We're making a movie.
There's a movie going on.
It was so fun, though. It was a fun set, but it was a serious subject matter. But you had to lighten it up, otherwise we would have probably crashed and burned. But it does. It breaks your heart when you're in there. You're performing in a scene. You're doing your performance as an actor, right? And then you have that moment. You look over and the real people are staying right there. I remember the day that we did the seizure scene. And Heather had just come back from, I think, the grocery store or something. And she didn't know that we were filming that day and walked in. And it just hit her. It just caught her off guard. And she had to remove herself. And you have those moments like, okay, this is real. Like, yeah, you can do your little acting stuff, but they really went through this.
Right.
They really experienced this. They lost their daughter. My heart goes out to him. Like I said, I would have these breakdown moments where it would just hit me all together. I'd show up in the morning and I'd be in tears, and Jason would just give me a big hug and say, you're doing great. Keep going.
I want to talk a little bit about, so the girl who plays Kennedy, you mentioned her name earlier.
Tatum.
Oh my gosh. So great.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Do you know, has she been in stuff before that people would recognize?
She's worked with Joan Lyde a little bit.
Okay.
On a few projects.
Cloud Nine on Disney.
Yeah, Cloud Nine on Disney.
Okay.
She's had a few roles. But this is her breakout. This is her first major lead, I think.
How was that then for you and for Heather? Because this is someone who is, you know, for all intents and purposes now recreating, you know, this person who's no longer with us, right?
Well, TC didn't include us in any of the casting for Kennedy, and I think that was good.
Yeah.
Tatum actually casted to be a cheerleader, and he had somebody else in mind to become Kennedy and had spoken to us and shown her pictures to us and everything else, who is a fantastic actress. She's also in the film. But she walked out, and TC said, "Here, take this. Go take 5 minutes and recast." And he said, "It was like I just knew." The answer is Kennedy chose Tatum.
Huh.
And Tatum is special. She is just, you walk, like she'll be there tonight. You walk, and when she walks in the room, you can't help but not smile. You can't help but not laugh. She might make you cry. She's just this bright joy. And that sounds kind of cheesy, but she is. You walk in, and it doesn't matter how tough you are. And she is not replacing Kennedy, but to give you an example, how close we are, she stayed with us for 3 days last week. So when she has any, you know, scripting or a project, she had a project up in Ogden. We live in West Haven, Utah. Okay. She comes and she stays in our house, and it's just like Kennedy's there. And really, Heather and I have felt, if Kennedy would have been normal and alive still, this is how she would have been. You know, dating boys, chasing her dreams, driving a little Mini around. That's what Tatum drives. You know, doing the fun things and beautiful. She's a beautiful girl. But I'm really proud of her because she was not allowed to see a lot of things with Kennedy, which TC likes his actors to act. And that's one thing I actually was fine with. And it's interesting. If you go watch the real videos of Kennedy, and at the end of the movie, there's an epilogue. You missed it, but you'll
see. Yeah, because my phone! Okay.
We can shoot that thing. I got a good target range. But anyway, you'll see the real Kennedy and Tatum and the parallel and how alike they are. Tatum has many stories where she doesn't say, "I felt." She says, "I know Kennedy was there on the set with me." So, again, listeners can't see my hands, but they're up in the air right now. It was out of my hands. Yeah. It was in the hands of Kennedy, and Kennedy wanted her story told, and it's being told. This weekend, June 2nd, June 1st it starts, right? Mm-hmm. The real day is the 2nd, but it's going to be in theaters on the 1st. Her story will be shared with the world.
Nice.
And that's what she wanted.
I want to take a break for a second, and coming up, we'll tell people how they can see it. If they don't live along the Wasatch Front, how they can request it to come to their town, and where they might be able to see it in the future, because certainly we want to make sure that people get the chance to see this. Also, I've got a few other questions I'll ask you guys about this whole thing. So let's take a break. We'll come back in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails from people all the time. Here's one. "Dear Dan, I keep hearing your ads talking about free virus and malware scans on any brand of desktop or laptop PC. I think you're trying to pull one over on us. We know nothing is free. We're not that naive out there in the real world." Signed, No Free Lunch. "Dear No Free Lunch, we mean it. We really will scan your computer for malware and spyware for free. We know that if you have a great experience with us, you'll be so impressed that one day you might come back and buy a computer from us. So bring in your computer, no matter what brand of PC it is, to any one of our locations right now for a free virus and malware and spyware scan. Just check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Say goodbye to your malware and spyware. No free lunch. At PC Laptops, we love you."
It's time for the third block of the Cultural Hall, and Jason Wade will let you know he's never been in the third block because normally I've been bored, but...
I made it to the third block! Isn't there some sort of music that's played right now?
No. It's just the bell that plays, like, that goes between meetings in your regular church sessions. We play the little bell, and then it goes to the next one. Yeah, little Peter Brian Holt.
Here's the third block.
Got it. Funny. So I want to let people know where they can see the film this weekend. It's purdydistribution.com/love-Kennedy. Yeah, that's not going to help you. Just go to theculturalhall.com in association with this episode. We'll provide a link there, and it'll say click here for movie information, and then you can click there.
We should tell them that they can't go see it. Or that people are picketing against it, because that's really good PR.
Yeah, that then when
you can't go, and that'll drive them crazy.
No, you can't go. Or I'm going.
I'm going.
Guys, have you heard about this movie we can't go see? Let's go. It is interesting and crucial for these films, the opening week.
Yes.
And especially, but the opening week for sure. If you get a chance, go check this out. Yes. Support this film and this story, obviously. I'm sure it'll come to DVD in the future, whatever. We don't need to talk about that, but go see it in the theaters.
Please. Independent films live and die on that first weekend.
Right.
I mean, how many Utah films never make it out of the boundaries?
Right. It's like, and then you get those, you know, those stories that come around that I think most recently probably of Saratov or Saratov approach, depending on which way you want to pronounce it. That makes it, and you know, and that story gets told. So hopefully that will be the fate of this film.
Hopefully.
A vital story for the heart of people. That's what I really liked about, I mean, the story, I guess your story, right? That impressed me as Jason Wade.
I know, it's Nielsen. Well, it's Ian and Owen, so I'm the feminine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're Jason. The feminine. I'm a Jason.
Yeah, I'm a Jason.
You know, as you lended to have the faith to be able to go through this. And for a minute, I thought, okay, maybe that's where this movie... Maybe that will be kind of the sub, right? This will be dad gets angry with God, says, you know, forget it. I'm not doing this thing anymore. And then the daughter, you know, I thought maybe that would be the story arc. And that certainly is not what it is. But
say no more spoiler alert.
Oh, listen. I'll say whatever I want. And I'm going to watch this movie 5 times this weekend.
That's right.
It really is just an amazing gift, I guess, that Kennedy is, not only for everybody that's watching the movie, but to those of us who, you know, that maybe I don't know. I guess I just found it very inspiring on a lot of different levels, and I'm excited to see how it ends.
You bring up a great point. I just want to say one thing, because this family, the Hansen family, they're really exposed right now.
Right. I mean, super really vulnerable, exposed. I would imagine. It's like, ugh.
I can't even imagine the trolls that are waiting to, you know, whatever. Probably not even watch the film, but say whatever they feel, because
I think that's
what we do. But for them, like, I honestly believe if you're watching this film, Kennedy represents the whole. Like, how many families out there are suffering? How many families out there have a diagnosis they can't detect? How many families out there have some trial going on that they need comforting? And so if this family can bring solace, if it can bring comfort, if it can help with an early detection, I just feel like the Hansen family would feel like every effort, every condemnation, every terrible remark made by a good-hearted person will be worth it, because somebody felt something and maybe helped them in their own process. But even if you aren't suffering, it still reads. It still connects to you. I hope nothing like this ever happens to me and my family, but if it does, I definitely hope I can find some solace out of it.
Well, and to be fair, you said about the trolls and doubters. Jason, before you accepted the project, you were very much
right? I was right in that. Oh, yeah. That
right?
Was me.
Like, there will be people, and it's like, I feel like he just said 45 minutes ago that he was that guy.
And perhaps that's why I tell that story.
Right.
Because how many of us would look at this and go, oh, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Nah, it's too easy. That's too easy. It wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about this that was easy. Watch the movie. You'll see. There's nothing easy in this movie. It just, like Jason said earlier, if he would not have been given that kind of insight, he's not sure if he could have made it through. And even if I would have been given that insight, I don't think I would have made it through. So yeah. You can see the levels of faith here. They're completely different.
I've got some nerdy movie questions, Mormon questions about it. The church is the church prop up in Wallsburg, right? That's the standard. We need an LDS church. It's like everyone who goes to church goes to the same ward. I see all the LDS movies, and it's always that
it's
church
like
in Wallsburg.
LDS River Bottom, the LDS Motion Picture Studio, Missouri, 1856. Yeah. Right. That's Provo, Utah.
Missouri looks a lot like Hans Mill, which looks a lot like Kirtland, which looks a lot... Wait a minute. Is all the same place. So that was a question thing. That... No, not low budget. Well, it's just sort of funny that you go...
Well, the church, we tried. So TC came up and met with our stake president and met with... Because the dance scene really happened.
Uh-huh.
And those are the real those are the real boys. You see the epilogue. Those are them, the dancers are there.
Spoiler.
So, uh-oh.
Yeah, sorry. But for those that are out there, that's kind of a fun scene.
Oh, my gosh.
So I spoiled it. Sorry.
That's all right.
But the...
No, it's a tearjerker. It's the sweetest scene.
He tried, and, you know, it was basically, you know, I mean, the church is like, we can't. We're nonprofit, and, you know, that would be there. But anyway, so ask your other questions, and I can tell you.
The soundtrack, the song Boy Band, is that Sons of Provo?
Boy Band.
No, it's somebody else.
Pink Zebra.
Okay.
Yeah, Pink Zebra.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then Imagine Dragons. That song, someone had to have been connected on that, because there is no way that a film, no offense, but there is like rights for something like that is so much.
Oh,
it struck
me. Imagine Dragons really helped us out with that one. Jason's got a great story.
So Kennedy, when she found out about her diagnosis, one of her cousins, he actually introduced her to Imagine Dragons, and she loved that
like
song.
Like physically or just the music?
No, the music.
Okay.
And she loved Radioactive because she'd go, like she'd always like sing it. So she sang it. And one thing with her disease is they stutter and they can't speak really clear.
Uh-huh.
And whenever she would sing, she could sing beautifully.
Wow.
And so she would sing Radioactive over and over. And she sang it, and her cousin put it on Facebook for her and with her, and it went viral.
Uh-huh.
And then her cousin and my brother and his wife got tickets to Imagine Dragons for her up at Weber State.
Okay.
So we were ecstatic. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, this story goes viral, and we get a call from the band.
Oh, my gosh.
And the band says, hey, we've seen this. We're touched by this. We're going to be in Ogden. We want to give you and your family tickets, but we want to know if we can potentially meet Kennedy.
Oh, wow.
And Kennedy told us, this is the miracle of Kennedy. I promise you, Dad, I'll meet them. Dad, I will pray. So she'd get on her knees, and she would say, Heavenly Father, please help me to meet Imagine Dragons.
Huh.
And that's what happened. And so sure enough, we go to the concert, and we walked in. It was a D Event Center, which was loaded.
Uh-huh.
And we walk in there, and the community, that's where we live. Everybody knew her. They were so excited. They took us down the floor, and before the concert happened, they took us into this room. And they came in, and they were running late. And I said, hey, guys, thanks so much. Introduced us to them, and they were there. And they said, no, we're going to start late. We're taking our time with Kennedy.
Mm.
And Dan Reynolds, and I mean, all of them were just amazing. And then they asked her to sing for them. So she sang Radioactive. And they sat there, and they just gave her the world. And were just so genuine. And then when they did their closing song, they dedicated it to her.
Oh, my God.
Kennedy?
Yeah, this is you, Kennedy. Bam. And it was amazing. Huh. I was sitting in the stands. My brother's like, why aren't you down here jamming? Because I was bawling. I mean, these are the lifelong dreams that you want to see your children do. And I also had a very prominent experience. It's in the book, not in the film. But as we were in that room, I had the strongest feeling that room had meaning.
Hmm.
And it almost bothered me. And a year later.
That room had meaning?
Had meaning.
Okay.
And I couldn't figure it out. It was like, this room has a special significance. Well, Kendi's story was so big that we ended up having her funeral in that stadium.
Oh, my gosh.
And so her funeral was held at the Event Center, and that room was where her viewing was held.
Oh.
And so it had a lot of meaning in many ways.
Wow.
Yeah. So the rights. They did have to pay for the rights.
Sure.
But Imagine Dragons, they told the artist, no. Imagine Dragons said, we do not want anything from this. But there's a
certain amount of monetary fee that they have to pay.
Soundtrack companies like we do. And so they were very generous. It's in the film. Yes, you had to pay for it. But that was her favorite song.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Makes you want to see it again, doesn't it?
Right. Right. Like I'm going to charge my phone up to 100% so that I can get to the end of that thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Makes you want to finish the film.
That's
got
what
it. Got it.
Gah! He was right. I did want to finish the film.
I know.
It's just remarkable. It's remarkable to me, as you know, as I think about the life of Kennedy and the film and the story and the, you know, the heartbreak and the vulnerability and all these emotions, right? These significant blessings that God, you know, manifested to help you get through it. It just hits me in a way that I for lack of a better term, I guess it's just sort of meant to be, right? That there was purpose in all of it. Mm-hmm. I think it would be easy to come away from it without sort of that eternal perspective and just be like, what was that for? Great. And just become very embittered and very angry. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate, you know, whether it be that it's Kennedy prompting while she was alive or prompting from the other side. And working out those deals, you know, as it seems like she only could.
She hand selected this cast, and if I don't say this while we're here, if I can,
please,
then I would feel really guilty. But you know, we all have struggles,
right?
And I don't rank them because one person's loss, this person could lose a cat, and that could be as devastating to them as me losing my daughter,
right?
But the struggles and trials in this life, what Kennedy taught her dad, and I've changed a lot, and I've softened a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what she taught me was that you can't rank them, and that you have to accept dad, other's feelings, which has been hard for me because sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh. But in this film, I would feel guilty if I didn't tell that, you know, Jason and I, We have created a friendship,
mm-hmm.
and I've told this story again, and I'll tell it again and again and again and again. My wife and I have spoken over 100 times since she's passed away, and we continue to speak to different groups, and I've told it many times, but I couldn't find him on set. Well, TC couldn't, and they were shooting somewhere in the house, and they said, we can't find him. And I walked up to Kennedy's room, and the door was closed, and they needed him. It was like, you know.
It's like, hey, we're on.
Ready.
Yeah.
And I opened the door, and there's a great feeling in our home. I don't say that egotistically, but there is.
Mm-hmm.
And when I opened the door, here was Jason kneeling down all alone with just tears, you know, streaming down his face. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he said, no. He said, come on in. And I said, they need you. And he said, you know, I just want to do this right. I just want to do this right. Mm-hmm. And I'm in here praying to Heavenly Father that Kennedy will inspire me. And when I saw that, and Jason has his own struggles and his family and his life and his things. And when I saw that, it meant so much to me as her dad, because people, you'll see the film, you feel that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more to this story than what's in the film, like Jason said.
Oh my gosh.
And you could feel that he really cared, and he was worn out. He would fall, he was done at night. He's like, I can't drive home. I'm so tired. And he was worn out because he gave it everything. And so I'd feel guilty if I didn't say how grateful my family is for the cast giving that much to the story, because you'll feel that. And when you go see the film, this is the second thing I'll say and then I'm done, is that a friend of mine from high school, last week was a cast and crew premiere, and a friend of mine from way back when, kind of not a real good friend, but he showed up. They had a second theater public could go to, and he came up and he said, here's all I said. You know, I'm not that spiritual of a guy. I'm not that, he says, but I had to see this film. And all I can tell you is the longer I watched the film, the more I couldn't deny it.
Mm.
And I said, deny what? He said, the truth.
Mm.
And my message is that, you know, that doesn't matter what race, religion, creed, person you are, is that I do believe in a higher power. And, it, you know, if you just turn to that higher power and listen, it will help you. Mm. And that's really what I grateful for.
Cool.
Yeah, he if you ever get a chance, there's such an open family. I send this challenge out to you. Not everyone listening, but
me.
Go to their home. If you ever get a chance, go to their home and just go through the front door, take a left, and go right down to Kennedy's room.
Hmm.
And you will feel something in that room that very few places on this earth you'll ever feel those kind of feelings. And so you're kind of brought to your knees. And I did. I wanted to do this project right. So that was my that's where I went to prepare for any scene. It didn't matter if it was spiritual or not. It was like, I have to connect to Kennedy. I have to connect to the spirit of this film and definitely plead for, you know, help, guidance, because I don't want to act. I want to be. Mm-hmm. I want to just be in these scenes. It was really a special experience for me. And it was interesting because every time I would come out of that room, or before I'd go out, I'd have this feeling of just trust. Just trust. Trust your instincts. Mm-hmm. Trust these feelings. And just do the work. And if I can, is that okay? I carry this in my pocket because at the end of the film, Jason brought me into his room, and another one of those hours and hours of conversation, just talking and just loving every second of it. And he gave me one of Kennedy's last possessions, and it's a seashell. I'll hand this over to you. And I just found it remarkable that he would give that to me, because the 5-6 weeks that I spent, that's all I kept feeling was trust. Trust in your instincts. Trust that you're doing it right. Trust in the spirit that you're feeling. And then he hands me this seashell that's Kennedy's. And
it was in her hand till the minute she passed.
Yeah, it was in her. She had two items, right, in her hands?
The other one.
She had a real seashell and a metal seashell. And on the metal seashell is inscribed trust.
Wow.
And he handed that to me, and it was the most touching gift I've ever been given, and I carry it with me. I don't carry it at work because I feel like I'm going to lose it, but
right.
If I'm having a rough day, I throw that in my pocket, and I reach down, grab my phone or my credit cards, and I can feel that, and it just kind of sends that message again, and I feel like I'm back in Kennedy's room. It's pretty amazing.
Our time has expired, gentlemen, so people are starting to get antsy in their seats, you know, when the meeting is starting to go over time, and people are like,
longer.
And it's getting that smell, you know, that smell?
Yeah. The priesthood.
That's where you know it's time to go.
I know what the priesthood smells like. And you start to smell the linger longer out in the hallway, and you're like, Jason, I want to know, for people that are looking forward to what you may be doing next, do you have something on the agenda? What's up?
My schedule is just not working out. My work schedule is it's just not working out.
Are you still at the electrical plant or what?
I'm still doing making power in Eagle, Colorado.
Yes. You know? Family's good?
Family is amazing.
Four kids. Ten
happy.
Kids?
Three kids.
Three kids?
Yep, three kids. Two boys and a girl.
Wife's
and
good?
My wife's amazing, and we're all happy. And we'll probably be out there for a few more years.
Okay.
Still, until Jason gets me a job for... Yeah. I gave him my salary.
Yeah.
Let's see if it works.
Yeah.
Well, you know what our next project really is I'm going to fund it. Jason's going to be the executive director. We're going to make a film about T.C. Christensen.
Oh, yeah?
So if you're willing to shave your head.
Done.
And your face.
Yes.
It's going to be more than one line.
And play tennis.
Listen.
We can do it.
I'm in. You do it. I am totally down. There's one question I'd like to ask everyone before I let him out of here, though. And so I'll pose that to you. And I don't care which one of you guys goes first. But take however much or a little time that you want. Jason, I know I've asked you this before, but, you know, sometimes these things change or different answers sort of come to mind. But the question is, what is your favorite part of your faith?
Favorite part of my faith is redemption and progression. There's always redemption, and hopefully there's always progression. And that's it. It's short and simple.
Nice. All right, other Jason?
Eternal families.
Okay.
Knowing that those that we love, we can be together forever. And I knew that before, but I don't know it. I live it. Hmm. There's a difference.
Now my wife's mad at me. I'm an eternal family. Shoot.
And my wife. Oh, come on.
Man, I'm so selfish.
Sorry, Holly.
You notice that he said eternal families.
Trump card.
Oh, you want to go play on a little film, huh, Jason? Well, maybe you'll think about that when he asks what your favorite part of your faith is. No, there's no wrong answers. And certainly families know, but... people can find a picture of that, both the metal shell and also the actual seashell, at the Cultural Hall on Instagram. We'll also put it up in association with this episode at theculturalhall.com. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, you will be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.